in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Well, we find the first word there actually is verse 4, perplexed. The women were perplexed. The Message Bible actually says they were puzzled, or the RSV say they were utterly at loss. Why? Because they couldn't figure out what was going on. Dawn read out earlier from the end of chapter 23, the women had seen Jesus' body laid in the tomb on the Friday evening. Then they went home to prepare spices and fragrant oils because they couldn't do any more work because the Sabbath was about to come. You couldn't work on the Sabbath. So they've come back on the early hours of the Sunday morning and they couldn't figure out what was going on. Who moved the stone? These weren't just like a little stone from your backyard. These were great big huge stones. But who'd rolled the stone? Where was the body? And why are the grave clothes still there and they're empty? They are perplexed. What's going on? But the angels made it clear to them that they should have known, even though it was still dark, and John in 21 says that it was dark as they arrived, they shouldn't have been in the dark. Why? Because as in verse 6 and 7, Jesus had clearly told them that this was going to happen. If you were here last Sunday when Daryl preached on Palm Sunday, I actually opened the service with a reading from Luke 18, verse 31. And that was when they were going up to into Jerusalem. And Jesus told the disciples that he would be delivered to the Gentiles, that he would be mocked and insulted and spat upon. They would scourge him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. But they didn't quite get it. They heard the words, but the meaning of it hadn't really meant to them at that period of time. They were not living with that at the forefront of their minds. And I think if we're honest, some of us can relate to these ladies. God's word tells us Christ is risen. But we often go through our day facing challenges on the outside and inside, but facing them perplexed, even when we need not to be. Like these women, our confusion comes from the fact that we are sometimes have forgotten God's word, or we've been distracted by other things of the world. We need to remember God's word, remember the answers, remember the promises, remember the power, remember the hope that is ours in Christ. And as our minds go, to remember always, as Jesus spoke those last words in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. By his Holy Spirit, for those who are believers, the Holy Spirit actually lives in you and helps us to remember what Christ has done and helps us on our journeys. I can't do life without the Holy Spirit in my life, because I often had times when I am perplexed, often. Well, we move on. We move on. Predicted, we actually find in Luke 24, verses 5 and 8. Let me read those couple of verses. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. All of a sudden, those words came back to them. While those first people who heard it back when they were going up to Galilee about the prediction, especially Jesus being arrested, being beaten and spat upon, they didn't actually take it in on board. But we should be encouraged by the stunning fact that Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen before it happened. But let's be clear, this wasn't a sort of a lucky guess kind of prediction. It was a God-perfect plan kind of prediction that we find throughout at the Bible. Jenny Willits came to speak to us a couple of weeks ago. She talked about compelling words of Easter from the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is full of telling us about what's going to happen. Let me just read out one. Oh, that actually worked, Peter, up there. Isaiah 53, 6 and 7. Or we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was laid as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Did you see the cross in that? Then we find Job as he reflects. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last on the earth. After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God. On a beautiful Sunday morning like this, we should be deeply encouraged that if Christ knew and fulfilled God's perfect plan, that he is beyond the shadow of doubt the kind of Redeemer we can trust and bring us through as well. On top of that, what a reminder of the fact that God truly is in control. Good Friday and Easter Sunday are the loudest declarations in all of history that God is still on his throne. He's not given up on us. His rescue mission cannot fail. It's part of his perfect plan. Well, the first word we has was what? The second word was? The third one is coming up, and it should, if this works, personal. Let me read out the little part there for us. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marvelling to himself at what had happened, is somewhere underneath the bottom of the screen. I think we see in verses 10 to 12 a connection to this final word of personal. See, did Peter have any reason to doubt these women? No. There was no indication that these women were prone to concoct idle tales, especially on this sad day. And like the women, Peter should have not been perplexed in light of what Jesus had already told them. So he should have believed and rejoiced at the women's report. But on the other hand, Peter remains as a reminder to us all that each of us has a personal appointment at the empty tomb, especially at this time. Notice that Peter did not simply laugh off the ladies and their tales, even though part of him doubted. Another compelled him, and he actually ran to the tomb. He had to see for himself exactly what had happened. And this morning, God wants to remind you and me to run and keep on running to the tomb, to stoop and keep on stooping, to look and keep on looking, to see that Jesus is not there. He's risen, and for us to live with that as a reality in our lives. Our Redeemer lives and now stands for you and me at the right hand of God. Raj, could you help me? Beautiful. I don't know if you've noticed, but as you entered the actual car park off of Hull Road, there's a new sign for Easter. It says, I am the resurrection and the life. It's up on the church sign. The passage comes from John 11, verse 25. It's in the context of Jesus speaking to Martha about the death of Lazarus. Jesus tells Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asked the question, do you believe this, Martha? The answer is that she says, yes, I do believe. These words of Jesus are about life. The Easter message of the cross and the empty tomb are about life. But I suppose the question for us all is, do we believe? Do we believe that Jesus died upon the cross to pay the penalty for yours and my sin, and then on Sunday he rose again? Have you been to the cross? Is a question I've got to ask you. Have you looked into the tomb? Have you said, I believe? And like Peter, we are all confronted with that question. I was born in England. I was christened by my parents, I think, when I was about 3 or 6 months old. I can't remember back quite that far, that period of time. I apologise for that. My mum read us the Bible most days at bedtime, both in England and Australia. We went to Sunday school in England and Australia, and I heard some great stories, and I had some encouraging times. But one Sunday night at Moorabark Baptist Church, I was confronted with the question for myself, do you believe? Not just the stories, but did I actually believe? Did I believe that when God looked upon me, he saw a sinner? Did I believe that Jesus was God's son and he died upon the cross and paid the penalty for my sin? Did I believe that Jesus rose again? Which for me at that period of time was very important, because I can remember even in England laying in my bed and really wondering what was going to happen to me when I died. And I'd sometimes cry myself to sleep, just going, what's... And I was at Sunday school. I was doing all that stuff. But I didn't have the answer. But can I tell you? Because I'd read the passage that Keith read out. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And I was afraid of that. But as I went forward, can I tell you, I was a youth. I'm about 13 years old. I'm sitting in the back seat of Moorabark Baptist Church. I can't tell you, I can even remember what the pastor actually said, to tell you the truth. But I sensed something was pushing me to the front. And now I know it was the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't stop from getting up from my seat, because I'd also known that passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That night, I believed. I had all the information beforehand. I'd done all the other things, but I hadn't believed myself. I hadn't believed that if I died, I would not have gone to heaven. That Sunday night, I said to God, I believe. Please forgive me. I recognize now who your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is. I know that he's alive. And because he's alive, when I die, I will rise again. After that night, I never cried in bed again, because I knew where I was going when I died. And for me, that was a tremendous thing, especially. What about you? Have you been to the empty tomb like Peter? Have you recognised that Jesus was and went away marvelling? Have you, like Martha, when confronted by Jesus' question, said, I believe? I want to give the opportunity to respond in a prayer just this morning. It's a prayer which is similar to a prayer which I would have prayed on that night. And you may want to pray it. I'm just going to read it through. And you may not have ever prayed one of these prayers. And you may be wondering yourself, well, when I die, I think I'm going to go to heaven. Can I tell you? I know I'm going to heaven. Not because of my goodness, but because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for my sin, and I am in Christ. Can I encourage you, if you'd like to pray this prayer, you haven't got to pray it out loud. I'm just going to pray it through. If you'd like to pray it, then do that. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness. Hang on a second. Thought that was the wrong page. Lord God, I'm sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. And now turn from everything which I know is wrong. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son and that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin so that I could be forgiven and set free. I also believe that Jesus rose again. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit to help me live a life which honours you. Thank you that I know you will help me live life now, but also have the gift of eternal life with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We started with Tony Campolo's infamous words, it's Friday, but Sundays are coming. He actually wrote this in his book. It's Friday. Jesus was nailed to the cross. But it's only Friday. Sundays are coming. It's Friday. Mary's crying her eyes out because her Jesus is dead. But it's only Friday. Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running around like sheep without a head. But it's only Friday. Sundays are coming. It's Friday. Pilate's strutting around washing his hands because he thinks he's got all the power and victory. But it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. People are saying, as things have been, so they will be. You can't change anything in this world. But it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Satan's doing a jig saying, I control the whole world. It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The temple veil ripped from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs opened. The centurion screamed in fear, truly he is the Son of God. But it's only Friday. Sunday is a coming. It's Sunday. The angel, like dazzling lightning, rolled the stone away, exclaiming, he's not here, he's risen. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. What could be our response? I want to invite you to stand. Actually, at the first part of the song, you're going to sit. It is a song which perhaps you may not know. I'm going to invite the musos and the singers to come up. And we're going to sing a song. Just sit for the first verse in the chorus. It's one called Thank You for Saving Me. Maybe new. Let's stay seated for the first verse and chorus, and then I'll invite you to stand up that one. Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me. What can I say? I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name.
Second verse in the next chorus.